Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. It is presented by Tranny Law and... Vibrakes Plus. I just got done talking about Troy Rink and Tranny Law.
Yeah.
All right, so Tranny Law, you get an extra plug.
You blew it!
You got an extra plug, Tranny Law, okay?
You did that last week, too.
No, and I never. I only make that one mistake. Never do it twice.
Kind of a mistake repeater.
Vibrakes Plus. We love you, Vibrakes Plus, the proud sponsor of Question Mark. Each and every day, we bring you Question Mark presented by Vibrakes Plus. Here you go. The weekend of sports was great. But let's not forget what's important. Mark, how did the house look when Mrs. Schlereth got home? Ooh, good question. So just to rewind.
Right.
Mrs. Schlereth has been out of town for the last several weeks, taking care of your mom.
Yeah.
Unbelievable gesture by your wife. So she's been gone. She came home this weekend, and you were panicking because the house has been full of grandchildren. And relatives.
And well, it's my son, his wife, my grandchildren.
Yeah, relatives. That's what they are, relatives.
My son is not a relative. He's my son.
He's a relative.
He's a family member.
Well,
relatives are like your cousins, right?
Okay. Tomato, tomato. Okay, the fact is that...
I'd like to introduce you to my relative. I married her 22 years ago.
No. Okay, fine.
Right.
I'm trying to paint a picture here.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm trying to paint a picture of a house in chaos.
Yeah.
A house in disarray. A house that has no leadership. A house that your wife was coming home to that was going to be a mess and your wife was going to react, well, guys, like wives and mothers tend to react in those situations. Mm-hmm. Not well. So we were wondering on Friday if you guys would be able to rise to the challenge and get the house clean sufficiently for Mrs. Schlereth's return. And the question is, did you?
Okay, so first off, I want you to know what I did Saturday. Right from the start, I started the outside. So all the plants watered. The other thing that happens to plants is you get some dead leaves in there. Well, I realized a lot of dead leaves in here. Let me take all the leaves out. So at first glance, everything looks clean, right? Cleaned out, took everything out of the garage, cleaned it out, and then reorganized it. So when you pulled in, right off, your first impression is, oh, things look tidy.
Tremendous. First impression is always important.
Yep. So the lawn was perfectly manicured, mowed, everything, boom, like dialed in, right? So that was my first strategy. Then when you walk into the kitchen's got to be like spotless, right? So we made sure the kitchen was in great shape. Wood floors were all hot mopped. You know, she's got this little like mopper thing. Everything vacuumed, everything put away. So as soon as she initially walked in, first impression was good. Kids, you know, the grandkids all excited. Tutu's home. Yay. You know, hugs and kisses. The dog was excited. So it was good. Then it happened.
Uh-oh.
My kind of adopted son, my teammate from Washington, Ken Coffey, his son Elliot, who spent 2 years trying to make the Broncos and live with us those 2 years. My wife went from Houston to Dallas. And spent the night at Elliot's apartment, and then Elliot drove her from Dallas to here, or from Dallas, yeah, Dallas to, so just to see the grandbabies, and he's, like I said, he's kind of my adopted son. So he drove, which was great, right?
But not a relative.
Calabash relative. But yes. So he brought her here, so it was great, and then he wanted her world-famous chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, those chocolate chip cookies are amazing.
That's what kind of sunk us.
Why?
Well, because she opened up where her baking stuff is.
Uh-oh.
And it was certainly clean, and put away, but it was in disarray.
I know it's
the pan, the pot, the cookie sheets were not in the right slots, and there were some other pans in there that didn't belong in there, and you could hear her doing a little huffing in public, and there was a lot of clanging.
Yeah.
A lot of clanging, you know, because this is not right, and you know, you can't get it out, and it's kind of up there, and clang, 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 clang. And so I was just sitting on the couch at that point going, oh Lord, let me get out of here. Well, you need extra eggs? I'm gone. You know, I'm going to the grocery store. So.
How's it going in there, honey? Need any brown sugar?
Yeah.
We good?
So then my daughter.
Dense milk?
Why, I was cleaning bathrooms. My daughter looked at our bathroom in the main living area, and we have a closet in there, and it has all the towels for the pool towels and stuff. And my daughter looked at it, and she goes, "This is not; these towels are not folded." She's like, "Ugh," and I'm like, "Well, you know." And she goes, "You know, when Mom opens this up, she will refold these towels." And I was like, well, you know what? We just got to live with this because we don't have time to go back through all these towels, right? Because we had other things to do. So sure enough, last night, she rolls into the bath and she's just checking things out.
You know,
right?
She's just, yeah.
She rolls in there, not to use the facilities, just to see, and she opens it up and you get instantly she refolded every towel, yep. Put it away. And then there were some that we're doing loads of laundry. So some didn't get exactly as dry as and she just threw them into the living room. Like, these towels are wet. Threw them in there and.
The boss is back.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt.
And then yesterday the whole morning was nothing but taking things apart and re-putting them together. And we just had to be like, yeah, sure. I'll help. Can't wait. This is exciting. So, but we're getting it squared away now.
Squared away. Getting yep. squared away. Here's a bonus question, Mark. Okay. Mark, your buddy Dwayne The Rock Johnson just bought the XFL. Does he have a spot in his organization for you?
Mark Slareth, handsome son of a bitch, get out here.
Oh, I would imagine. I haven't checked my cell phone. I imagine I would, nope. Let me just check the email.
Nope. I'm sure it's coming anytime soon. Just keep refreshing.
Did I miss a call maybe? Yeah, Let me just see. No. Probably, you know, probably putting some polishing touches on the contract.
I'm sure. Sure it'll appear on your phone any moment now.
That's right.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah. No, it is good. I thought the XFL was doing some kind of cool things this offseason before COVID shut it down.
They were doing better than any other spring football venture. Well, really, since the days of the USFL.
Yeah.
They were off to a positive, encouraging start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which surprised me that they shut it down not only immediately for this year, but for next year as well. I don't know. This is encouraging. The Rock, he's formidable. That's a good move for the league if you're a fan of the league. I just don't think spring football will ever work. I just don't.
I think the only way.
I think people have a thirst for the NFL all year round.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have a thirst for spring football games.
I think it'll take an investment from the NFL and a regional application from the NFL, meaning that each organization is a feeder for NFL teams. So,
yeah,
if you're a AFC West, you're a Chief fan, you're a Bronco fan, you're a Raider fan, you're a Charger fan. That team, your five or six guys feed into two teams.
Yep.
In one division.
Minor league affiliate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some type of minor league affiliation and some type of investment from the NFL.
I like it.
To make this go.
Knowing
that's my
thought. I'm watching a game.
With future
Broncos.
With future Broncos.
Okay.
or future Chiefs or future, you know,
yeah,
prospects, especially when it comes to development of really two positions in general. Quarterback is an obvious, right? It's kind of like Kurt Warner in the USFL, or not the USFL, but Kurt Warner in the NFL Europe and Kurt Warner in the Arena League. You know, you can go through a bunch of different guys. Jake Delhomme, that was, in the European Football League, NFL Europe. Who won the Brad Johnson, who won the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, NFL Europe. There was a whole load of guys that were in the, you know, the NFL Europe. And then offensive lineman, Mike. I think one of the biggest positions, one of the biggest needs is to be able to develop those guys in pads and get the work that they need to develop the skills that are required to play that position. And you really have a tough time doing it the way the NFL is constructed right now.
Well, why don't you call your buddy, The Rock, and give him those ideas? I'm sure he'll pick up your phone call. No doubt.
Oh, no, he will pick up my phone call. No. Benny, it's not you.
He will pick up your phone?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Well, then. I usually don't call. I text, and he texts me back.
I think it's a great idea. Why don't you share with him? I'd be curious to see what he says.
Well, you know he could get in front of the NFL, right?
I mean, yes.
You know he's got the kind of power to get in front of the NFL.
This is a good move. If you're a fan of spring football and would like to see a spring football league and were encouraged by the early returns from the XFL, this is great news, getting somebody like The Rock behind it. Some more. You guys are talking about the importance of the Rockies game, but why not the importance of the Avalanche game yesterday? Well, let's be honest, okay? What the Avalanche accomplished a lot yesterday for the kind of game they were playing in. But this went down as a playoff game.
Right.
What the Avalanche did yesterday. Nazem Kadri's goal with a second left ties a playoff record for least time remaining in a game in which a goal was scored. Okay?
Okay.
Game-winning goal was scored. But it goes down as a playoff record. These aren't... What the Avalanche are doing, this isn't playoff hockey. These are tune-up games. But I get it. The NHL is trying to attach a certain level of significance to these games while other playoff series are actually being played.
Right.
They have to make these games for these top four seeds in each conference seem important, so they're calling them playoff games. They're not. These are tune-up games. And you hope that the Avalanche can get enough out of these games to be sufficiently ready and prepped to go when they step into a playoff series against the team that will have just played a legitimate playoff series.
And that was my biggest concern that to a degree was answered yesterday. And again, you can't watch, 10% of the population here in Colorado can watch the game. I didn't get to watch the game. I just watched the highlights. But
I tuned in NBC Sports Network when the game was supposed to be on. There was a car show on.
Yeah.
Some Lamborghini sold for like $290,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sleek.
Very sleek.
Fast.
Super fast. Like the Avalanche. Sleek and super fast.
Yeah, they're a Lambo.
Yeah, they are a Lambo. Which is great. I thought the intensity of, I'm watching highlights. So the intensity of what I saw on the ice, the excitement for that game-winning score with .1 second left. That made me feel better about this kind of play-in atmosphere or this, you know, tune-up atmosphere while other teams are playing actual series. That made me feel better because that was my big concern with the format that they had.
Yep.
And it made me feel better. And you probably should have known because hockey's a little, those guys are a little.
You used a word earlier that I loved. Say it again.
I don't know
Oh, jeez.
What'd I say?
Good thing I listened to you.
You can't put me that kind of spot. I just say things.
That they tend to have more integrity.
Yes, they do have more integrity when it comes to
some of their other professional sports brethren.
Yes. Yes. There's a bit of a, more of a blue collar, you know, hold each other accountable. I don't want to let anybody down.
Right.
It's just the way that league operates.
Texture. I've missed Hockey Fan for these last several months. Serious Hockey Fan. I've missed them.
Mm-hmm.
These are not tune-up games for the Avs. These points determine seeding. Do your research. I've done my research, clown. I know exactly what these games mean, okay? They mean seeding to determine where you're going to be seeded in a tournament that has no home ice. Okay? It has no home ice. And I had Serious Hockey Fan try to tell me, well, it still matters because you want to be the higher seed, so the home team, because you get last change. Last year in the NHL playoffs, road teams played almost 500 hockey throughout the playoffs.
Right.
Culminating with a Stanley Cup final between St. Louis and the Bruins, where all seven games were won by the road team. So don't give me this bit about, you know, seeding's important. Being able to have home ice throughout the entire Western Conference playoffs, important for that last change. No, it isn't. Okay? And as far as a team like the Avalanche that has legitimate Stanley Cup aspirations, I don't care who they draw in the first round. Because the expectation is they'll beat them.
Right.
So.
Yeah, this is not.
I get it, Serious Hockey Fan. You're trying to attach serious implications to these games. There aren't any.
Right.
Okay? All that matters is you get prepped sufficiently for the games that do matter. And from that standpoint, Mark, yesterday was tremendous for the Avs. I think they got about as much out of a relatively meaningless game as you could have gotten. They played a highly contested game, tightly fought game, one goal game. They had to come from behind the third period. They got a strong game from Philip Grubauer, who made 31 saves, only allowed one goal. It was a low scoring game. So, you know, you had to really mind your P's and Q's defensively. And they were able to, as a team, enjoy the benefits that come out of winning a game with 0.1 seconds left. So for all you could have potentially gotten out of that kind of a game, they got it, which is great. But let's not, you know, say it was as meaningful as the Rockies. The Rockies right. are playing every – look, the Rockies game on Friday, the best thing that came out of the Wade Davis blown save on Friday was the reaction on social media immediately. And then even, you know, I was at a youth baseball tournament in Eaton, Colorado. First ever trip to Eaton, Colorado, by the way.
Yeah.
Lovely country up there. And I was talking to five or six dads about, man, they got to get Wade Davis out of there. He stinks. They got to come up with somebody different. They can't run him out there again, can they? And it was that immediate reaction that I found so encouraging that people understand the importance of all these Rockies games.
Right.
That they were looking at Wade Davis saying, this can't continue. They got to make a move immediately.
I've been pleasantly surprised. I shouldn't even say surprised. I wasn't surprised. But I've been really excited about this baseball season, Mike, simply because the level of intensity to this shortened season, this truncated season, makes me feel like baseball should dump their season down to about 100 games.
Right?
Does it? I mean, the importance of it just makes me feel like, man, this is so much, there's so much more intensity. This lackadaisical, oh, you know, we play again tomorrow, wash it off, it's fine. Like, Wade Davis has a couple of shaky appearances, and all of a sudden he's got shoulder inflammation, and we'll probably never see him again. Think about it. You got young arms, you got young talent, you've got... That's kind of how I feel about the way they've gone here. Put up, or, you know, it's like Alex Gibbs, my offensive line coach, used to say to us all the time, get good or get gone. That's this season in a nutshell. Get good or get gone. We can't hang around. Every game counts as 2.7 games.
Yep.
and Bud Black and the rest of this league is managing exactly that way. And you saw the end of game last night at 9-1.
Yep.
You're 9-1 in the, what, in the eighth?
Eighth.
In the eighth. You bring in the lefty. What's his name? Pezos or something like that? Bring in him. He struggles.
I'm efforting.
And you let him struggle to a point, then you bring in Estevez. He gives up a base-clearing triple.
And Will then, Myers. Rocky what? Killer. Will Myers.
I know. Will
Can't
Myers.
Can't wait till he's 43 and we get him as a Matt Kemp-type pickup.
You know what I like about him, though? No batting gloves.
No batting gloves.
Just straight old
That's
school.
That's right. Old school.
Just old school. Kind of looks like surfer guy, though, with the big matty hair on top of his head.
Sure. Well, he's playing for San Diego.
Yeah. Anywho,
rushed.
But then Estevez, you know, comes back in the ninth, gets the first two outs, and Bud Black back out there, trots out there to get the last out by Jairo Diaz.
James Pesos.
Pat Flaherty. What a fan.
With a great stash, by the way. That's a great stash.
That's a big thick stash.
You know, great stash. He's a left-hander. While he was standing out there, I was like, am I looking at Ron Guidry? The Louisiana Lightning?
Yeah.
That's a deep pull right there. I just went old school. But yeah, he kind of had like a Ron Guidry look there. But anyway, when he was struggling and he's walking, I'm immediately like, Bud, go get him.
Mm-hmm.
We can't mess around.
Yeah.
You can't lose this game. You can't blow this game. So I love the urgency. The urgency is there. Speaking of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Thomas. You see this? Man, you offensive linemen, you're just taking over NFL media. Offensive linemen all over the place. So Joe Thomas put together his list of the top 10 edge pass rushers in the NFL. Barely cracking the top 10 at number 10, Von Miller. But nine guys against over Von Miller. Mark. I don't know how this guy could have any more motivation to have a monster year. His own coach continues to be lukewarm about him. Joe Thomas, very respected offensive lineman, looks at him as being only the 10th best pass rusher in the NFL. I mean, come on. If ever Von Miller's going to have a monster year, it's this year. And if he doesn't, well, it just reaffirms what you and I have been talking about for the last months. He's playing for his Bronco career this year.
What is he like? What kind of numbers does he have to put up to not have either a different uniform on next season or a renegotiated contract? He's got to have 12 sacks, right?
Got to have double digit sacks, yes.
Got to have, but not just, not a fall into 10. I mean, it's got to be 12 and a half.
But it can't be just the sack numbers, which are important. But
right.
You know what it has to be? It has to be as simple as this. That game last year where they should have beaten the Colts and he had a chance to tackle Jacoby Brissett, which would have ended the game. Instead, Brissett squirmed loose, completed the long pass, and the Colts went on to win the game. And this year, Vaughn makes that play. Simple as that. This year, Vaughn sacks Jacoby Brissett or forces him to, you know, throw off balance and the ball is incomplete. And we all can understand that Von Miller wrecked that play and won a game for the, or clinched a win for the Broncos.
Right.
That's,
it's gotta be,
it's gotta be as simple as that.
It's gotta
right?
be double digit sacks and impact plays. Strip sack fumbles, fumble recoveries. You've gotta have those kind of impact, like you're talking about, the impact plays that win you games.
Coming up next, who are the under-the-radar guys for the Broncos as they step into this next stage of training camp? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Yeah.
RomelsLaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. Evans has a major man crush for Vaughn. Miller's now an average player. Deal with it.
Your head is so big.
Thanks, Ron.
How is it that you have a man crush on Vaughn? I mean, did you not just say that if Vaughn doesn't produce, he's gone?
Wasn't it me a year ago who said the face of this defense in 2 years will be Bradley Chubb? And you were like, no, it'll still be Vaughn. My, how things change. Just 1 year later. Come around.
No, I have not.
Come around. Just want to admit I was right?
No.
Go ahead.
You're not.
You can do it.
The way you said what you said was insane. You said that Bradley Chubb is going to be better than Vaughn Miller.
No, I said the face of the defense, which, yes, means that he will be the most impact. What I meant was in 2 years, Bradley Chubb will be the best defensive player on this team. And I stand by that.
No. Okay, you're wrong.
You think another year from now, because that was a year ago, so another year from now, Vaughn Miller will continue to be better than Bradley Chubb.
If Vaughn Miller gets back to the Vaughn Miller that we have watched over the years, not last year's Vaughn Miller, but the Vaughn Miller before, then yeah, he's still going to be a better player. But Vaughn has Bradley Chubb's a really good player. Don't get me wrong. But Bradley Chubb does not have the same skill set that Vaughn Miller has from an athleticism standpoint. Right?
When Vaughn is in his prime, yes, Vaughn's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Vaughn is going to be a first ballot Canton Hall of Famer.
Correct.
But the first coffee slurp of the day on air. There may have been others that I missed, but that was the first real audible one.
Yeah.
But the skills that made him what he was there, they seem to be declining. So what does that leave you with? That leaves you with a player that once had a particular set of skills. He no longer has them.
I don't know who you are.
But that allows Bradley Chubb to surpass him.
Bradley Chubb, even with this, with a declining skill set, Vaughn Miller still has a better skill set than Bradley Chubb.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
I guess we will.
I guess we will.
And then you'll apologize to me.
Maybe. By the way,
yeah.
Did you see over the weekend, Brandon Allen signed with the Cincinnati Bengals?
He did not.
He did. The Gamer
is
on his way to the Queen City. Joe Burrow better look over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Because there's a Gamer in the quarterback room now.
That's right. He's walking through the airport there. It's in Kentucky. This song is just playing in the background. And they're closing all the factories. Coming to take over the Queen City, Mike. Good for him. Good for him.
Still in the game.
Yeah.
Still in the game. This text comes in. Guys, with all this talk about how NFL players need to be mature and responsible, how in the world is Paxton Lynch going to be able to handle that? Snuck up on me.
Yeah.
8:34. We kind of.
I completely
flirted with danger today.
Yeah, I completely forgot.
Benny, where does that put the Paxton Lynch smear campaign? Day number 2032.
Whew. Yeah.
Got that one out of the way.
It's a close one.
Bleacher Report came out with their most under the radar players for each team. secret weapons that nobody talks about.
Right.
They came up with Alexander Johnson, the Broncos linebacker.
Okay.
But you, I loved your description. You said, look, if you're just looking for a linebacker to come up and smash heads in the run game,
mm-hmm.
he's your guy.
Right.
But that's not the league anymore.
No, I mean, there's, I mean, come on. And you talked about this, Mike. You mentioned this, and I thought it was a great point by you. Like, you have come out after the draft, and everything you've done has been about how are we going to compete with Kansas City Chiefs? I don't know if you watched the Kansas City Chiefs film, but they aren't interested in running the football.
No, nope.
They're not trying to run a little smash mouth or eat up clock. They are the least balanced team that I watch. I mean, maybe there's a team that has less balance than the Kansas City Chiefs. I guarantee you this, and I don't know. I haven't looked up any stats. I'm not a stats guy, but I guarantee you this. When you talk about teams with winning records, okay, so 8-8 and above, I guarantee you that they're the least balanced 8-8 and above team in football.
So what you're saying is the team that you have not shied away from all offseason saying this is who we're targeting.
Right.
We're making moves with the idea of trying to match and beat this team.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that team has no interest
right.
in running the football.
Zero.
So then that leads to this question then. Do the Broncos have sufficient enough linebacking play to hang with a team that has no interest in running the football?
Correct.
They don't.
They don't.
So Alexander Johnson, Todd Davis, nice players, especially against the run, but in the passing game, major weaknesses.
I did a Broncos game last year.
Yes, you did.
You did the Chicago game, right?
Yes.
In the Broncos game last year, it was a Chicago game.
Garrett Bowles, Holtz.
Yeah,
all of them.
That's right. The holding stuff was certainly one of my keys to the game. So I always put these videos together for my crew just to kind of see, here's some of the things that I'm looking at. And obviously the holding stuff, hey guys, we have to have a ISO camera on Garrett Bowles because I guarantee you, this was going into the game, I guarantee you he could get turned like a top and there will be a bunch of holding calls. So of course that came to fruition. One of my other keys was if I was a team playing the Broncos, I would attack the underneath coverage. Depth, width, and man coverage skills of their linebacking core. And those were my two of, and I'll put together 20 plays or 15 plays of each team. Here's 15 different things to look for the Broncos. Here's 15 things to look for Chicago. And you put them together and you say, you know, we need to kind of be alert. Now the game may not unfold that way, maybe something totally different, but here's just some things that I'm looking for, I'm looking at. Keep me honest. And if you see it, you know, and we haven't talked about it, let's say, hey, let's get to this, right? And so those are just, you know, one of the things I try to do to help everybody be on the same page. You watch their underneath stuff and it's not always great. I think that there's a lack of fluidity at times from a movement standpoint, change of direction when it comes to, and I get that it's hard. I get that it's incredibly hard, but when it comes to covering backs and covering tight ends and some of the things we've talked about here for 5 years, some of the struggles they've had.
Coming up in the cutthroat dog-eat-dog world of professional sports, did the Rockies just show an amazing amount of compassion? Details next. You know, Mark, when it comes to pro sports, I don't think too many teams are necessarily worried about a guy's feelings when they make moves.
Sure.
Kind of cold-hearted when it comes to all of that. But I can't help but think that the Rockies showed some compassion with Wade Davis. Rather than just benching him, yanking his closer role from him,
right,
stripping him of it, hey, you're heading into mop-up duty, low-leverage situations, we can't trust you anymore to be a closer, we've got all these young, dynamic, electric arms that we think are better, and your blown save on Friday was the last straw. Instead of doing all that, is it just me, or did they invent a shoulder strain to give him, to protect,
right,
you know, his pride a little bit?
Yeah, I'm sure that had, I'm sure that that had something to do with it. I mean, I'm sure his arm or his shoulder is a little bit tight or whatever, but if it was a regular season, well, you give him 3 days off, say, hey, we're not going to throw for a couple of days and we're going to work you back in there and throw a couple of, and, you know, we'll take you out of the closer role for a couple of outings here and get your stuff back right again and then put you back in there. Now it's automatically, and this is one of the things I love about the season. It's not just about, you know, treating him with kid gloves, but it's about making a decision quickly and saying, we don't have time. We don't have time in this truncated season to kind of, you know, soft shoe around. We got to make hard decisions. And this is one of those hard decisions they made. And hey, say what you want about the Rockies. They did it with, maybe it wasn't a hard decision, but, you know, when it comes to financially, it was a hard decision. They did it with Jake McGee. They did it with Brian Shaw. I mean, they made those decisions. They said, hey, we got young guys that don't cost us anything that are better players. And so, hey, man, we're going to let go of these, you know, we're going to let go of these guys that we spent. Well, they have $9 million still invested in Shaw and Jake McGee or something like that. We're moving off of that.
Yeah, there's no room for hurt feelings here.
No,
but
absolutely
not. I think that's what they did. I think they showed a veteran some compassion, showed him some respect, and gave him a bit of a soft landing here rather than just because there's no way. I mean, you ran the risk of just having Rockies fans just completely march down on Blake Street with pitchforks and lanterns,
right?
Because
yeah, they're
immediately after that blown save, nobody wanted Wade Davis as a closer anymore.
Right.
It was instantaneous. Good for Rockies fans, by the way, recognizing the urgency of the situation.
Yeah, they know where we are right now. And the broadcast with Drew and Jeff, they've done a great job of kind of, you know, making sure you understand that, hey, added importance, added weight to these games. Each game counts as almost 2.7 is what they've come up with. The urgency is great to me.
Speaking of urgency, how much urgency is there with the second of 8 finish games for the Nuggets today? They take on the Thunder today, just after a bad performance on Saturday in which, help me out here. All I've heard from Nuggets fanboy media is the depth. The Nuggets have, wow, they have amazing depth. And yet after one game, Michael Malone is lamenting, oh, we've had, you know, so many guys test positive and injuries and we're missing so many guys. Is that just excuse making? Come on. If you got all this depth, then use the depth.
Yeah, well, the depth is not going to get, I mean, come on. The depth is not getting it. You're gonna get you. You know that come playoff time, if you know anything about the way that basketball operates. And listen, man, I'm no great shakes. I mean, I'm no great NBA fan. You know, I like to watch the playoffs. You know, I always say the NBA doesn't officially start in my world until after the Super Bowl. So, I mean, take it for what it's worth. But I know this. I mean, I don't know much, but I know this. When the playoffs start, there's a lot of guys that never get off the bench. There are a lot of guys they get minutes during the regular season that don't get minutes come playoff time. So if you think all of a sudden we're going to tap into Bol Bol and he's our next foolish if you think that's what's going to happen.
Which makes what Michael Malone said actually, it is truthful. It is a real legitimate excuse. When you're playing without Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, and Will Barton, that's legit, okay? The whole we're going to out-depth our way to the NBA Finals, no, you're not. It doesn't work that way, no matter what, fanboy media tries to tell you.
Yeah.
But what does matter is you know what you're going to get from Jokic.
Right.
Now the question is, okay, that's one. I need Jamal Murray to take the next step this playoff run. He needs to become a star.
Yeah.
Okay? And then I need a third guy. And that could be Gary Harris. That could be Will Barton.
Mm-hmm.
I need one of them to be... They don't have to be a star, but they gotta have their moments during the playoff run where they play like a star.
Right.
Okay? That's the only way this team's gonna get to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
The only way. So don't tell me about depth and Michael Porter Jr. and Bol Bol and Jeremy Grant and Paul Millsap and Mason Plumlee and Monte Moore. It's not what's gonna get it done here.
Let me ask you this. When you're facing LeBron James and Anthony Davis of the Lakers, what's your plus minus going to be when PBJ and Bol Bol are playing? That's how I went PBJ.
I noticed that. But I do like, and this is why today's game will be interesting to see how they come out. Here was Michael Malone, quote, after the game. I saw a lot of guys out there not playing hard. Whether you have guys out from injury or coronavirus, that's unacceptable.
Yes.
If you turn the ball over and walk down the floor because you're feeling sorry for yourself, that does not sit well with me. I like guys who play hard. I'm attracted to guys who go out there and no matter what's going on, find a way to give great effort. We need to find those guys. Okay.
Mm. Remember just how many days ago was he praising Bol Bol for playing in that,
Consider the situation. That was a scrimmage.
Those were fun games.
That was a fun scrimmage.
Let's go real big. Woo! Okay?
Now it's time to get serious.
Right.
You got now 7 games to ramp up and get it right for the playoffs.
And what did we talk about? Like, at what point does it become really concerning? How many games do you really need? This is Michael Malone's way of telling his team, hey guys, like, we're running out of time. We have to get ready, and this is the kind of effort that's just good enough to get you knocked out in the first round if you keep giving it.
If the great Yogi Berra was around right now, he'd say it's getting late early around here.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly what he said.
They don't have much time.
No, and so you and I
They don't have much time, but the good news is they still have time.
Right, but you talked about they got to have 5 games that are pretty intense, right? Of these 8, 5 of them have to be, 4 or 5 of them have to be pretty dialed in.
Yeah, I think that by the time you get to the last 4 games, you got to feel confident that you're looking at playoff ready Denver Nuggets.
Correct.
So we'll give them a mulligan. That was only the first of 8.
Okay.
All right. I will trust we'll see a better effort today.
Yeah.
We'll see how they do. We'll talk about it tomorrow. The Rockies with Chi-Chi on the mound.
Love it.
See if they can keep it going with the Giants in town. And look who is here. Wow.
I know.
I'm getting a little emotional.
I know.
Bow chicka bow wow.
Yeah.
Danny Clough is back.
The Cloughinator.
I've seen him once over the last several months. It was at the golf tournament.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
But Cloughy is back. Orlando is here.
I am getting so turned on right now.
Sandy and Orlando coming your way next.
Our next show is amazing because they have 2 incredible characters that remind me of Greek mythology. One, a minotaur. He's big and he's got horns. It's Orlando. And the other is like a little tiny wizard. It's Sandy and Orlando next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.